go to a European countries or America, you can see the post, you know, postcards or the is everywhere, and to introduce this new movie, Twilight Saga Eclipse.那么今天呢，在这个电影部分呢，为大家介绍的是《暮光之城》的第三部《月食》，也就是最近呢，在北美地区和欧洲刚刚上映的这部电影。主人公 Bella once again finds herself surrounded by a danger as Seattle is revenged by a string of mysterious killings and the malicious vampire continues her quest for revenge. In the midst of this all, she is forced to choose between her love for Edward and her friendship with Jacob, knowing that her decision has the potential to ignite the struggle between vampire and werewolf.And with her graduation quickly approaching, Bella is confronted with the most important decision of her life. Isabella Swan was a normal teenage girl in a normal world until she met Edward Cullen and Jacob Black. Since then, she was been up against a sadistic vampire, the Vaturi, and an angry werewolf Paul. But what lies ahead is something only Edward's brother, Jasper Hill, can help the Cullens with. A newborn vampire army created by a revenge-ridden Victoria, and riding Victoria for what Edward did to her mate, James. Mate for mate, says Victoria sees it, but what she doesn't know is the Cullens have a secret on their side. With graduation coming fast, Bella gets more and more worried about becoming immortal and the fight. But the real question is, who will she choose? 那么在第三部的月食当中呢 ，Bella 继续和Edward Cullen， 同时呢还有狼人 Jacob 一起来作为三个主人公出现在电影里面。那么在这部电影当中呢，主要的讲述就是三个人之间的这个感情纠葛。Bella 在此部的 Eclipse 当中呢，对狼人Jacob 也有了更深的好感，但是同时呢，他又非常爱吸血鬼 Edward， so it's really complicated. So she has to decide which one is the perfect one or the Mr. Right for Bella. Bella and Edward have been reunited, but their forbidden relationship is threatened to be torn apart again with an evil vampire still seeking her revenge.那么在本部的 Eclipse 当中呢 ，Bella 在之前呢其实受到了另外一个吸血鬼 Victoria 的威胁。那在此部的月食当中呢 ，Victoria 邪恶的吸血鬼呢组织了一个军队来到 Bella 的家中呢来进行报复。那在这部电影当中呢，就是讲述 Edward 和 Jacob 怎么样联合狼人和吸血鬼的力量呢，来和邪恶的 Victoria 来进行斗争。So Bella and Edward have been reunited, but their forbidden relationship is threatened by the torn apart again. And Bella is forced to choose between her true love for Edward or her friendship with Jacob Black as the struggles between vampires and the werewolves continues. But there is still another choice for Bella to make, mortality or immortality. After the vote about her becoming immortal,Bella realizes graduation isn't too far away and starts to panic, but she has bigger problems arising. Her feelings for Jacob, his feelings for her, and also Victoria, the vampire who is trying to take revenge on her for Edward killing her James. And that was today's movie introduction, Eclipse. And I hope in the future you will watch it. And I hope you must be like it because it's really, really interesting story and also a very interesting movie. And now let's take a break. Listen to a song by James Blunt, You Are Beautiful.
Another man.
You Are Beautiful by James Blunt. And now let's introduce a book to you. 今天呢在 book review 的这个部分当中呢为大家介绍一本书，就是 Options, The Secret Life of Steve Jobs, 叫做乔布斯的秘密日记。In this tedious parody of the life of Apple founder Steve Jobs, fake Steve Jobs,offers a gleeful stand-up of the real Steve Jobs set amidst the recent stock options backdating scandal. And throughout the fake Steve pontificates on everything from his superior management skills, his role in the development of the iPhone, and also is portrayed as a cold, callow narcissist.Blissfully unaware of the legal firestorm raging around him, Maslack's fake Steve goes about his daily business, balancing meditation with the firing of employees while the Apple board of directors scrambles to avoid prison time and find a scrap gold. 那美国福布斯杂志资深编辑丹尼尔莱昂斯呢假冒美国苹果公司总裁斯蒂夫乔布斯，通过多年对高科技的深刻了解以及风趣幽默的文笔，把近年来高科技业的酸甜苦辣都融入到这本书当中。那在书中呢，莱昂斯以犀利讽刺的文笔以及惟妙惟肖的模仿，巧妙地揭露出美国科技产业中许多真实的故事和新闻事件，不仅在网络上引起了轩然大波，甚至还骗过了很多人。其讽刺的文笔也是吸引了一群忠实的读者，包括乔布斯本人和比尔盖茨都非常喜欢他的这个文章。那在这本书当中呢，有精心安排的情节，以诙谐语调模拟苹果公司总裁如何应对现实生活中遭遇的麻烦，苹果公司的创新文化 iPod 的传奇内幕，令人羡慕的分红配股。书中呢还有着比传统媒体更贴切真实的描述 Fictitious Apple Corporation implodes. Fake Steve must decide whether to jump ship or stand by the company. 书中的部分内容根据真人真事，但各角色的对话、想法还有心态呢都是虚构的，以增加故事的可读性。那这是美国科技业最令人捧腹的作品。本书的英文版呢自出版以来呢已经风靡了全球。Okay, and that was today's book review, and that was the book, The Secret Life of Steve Jobs, and I hope you like that. And now let's move on to Popular American. 接下来呢，我们来听听流行美语。那今天呢，李华到 Larry 住的地方呢，去送一本书，发现鱼缸里的金鱼呢不见了。李华会学到两个常用语，第一个是 to bite the dust。另外一个是 funky。
哎 ，Larry， 你的金鱼到哪儿去了
？Oh, he bit the dust yesterday. I found him floating in the tank. I'm really bummed out about it.
你的金鱼怎么了 ？Bit the dust. Bit是 bite, B-I-T-E 的过去时，意思是咬。那 dust, D-U-S-T 是尘土的意思。咬尘土。哦，你是说你的鱼死了
？That's right. That fish was a few years old, so I think he might have just died of old age.
那只鱼在你这儿好几年了，怪不得你显得闷闷不乐的。Larry, 那要不要我陪你再去买一条金鱼啊
？I'm thinking about going to buy a new fish today, but I want to clean out the tank first. I don't want the new fish to bite the dust too.
没错，买新的鱼以前最好把鱼缸打扫干净，不然啊，新的鱼也可能会死掉的。
It's possible. I really don't want to take any chances.
对，一条鱼啊，价钱也不便宜呢，可别冒风险。哎，对了 ，Larry， 你知道吗？ John 的奶奶几天前去世了，那我是不是能说 she bit the dust the other day?
Wait a second, Li Hua. I don't think you want to say that your friend's grandma bit the dust. It's not very polite or respectful.
Oh, bite the dust. 这个说法用在人的身上是不礼貌的。Oh, 那我还真是得小心哦。
It's okay to say my fish bit the dust or some bad guy in a movie bit the dust, but you probably don't want to say that about your friend's family member.
Oh, 我懂了。To bite the dust 可以指鱼，也可以指电影里面的坏蛋。可是啊，千万不要在朋友的家人去世的时候用这个说法。
You've got it. Now let's go buy a fish.
Larry, 你为什么不买那条鱼呢？它的鳍好大，而且颜色好漂亮哦。我从来就没见过色彩这么鲜艳的鱼呢。
Yeah, he is kind of funky. I don't think I've ever seen another fish like that either.
Hey, 等等，你说什么是 funky 呀？是不是很酷的意思啊？
Funky has several meanings, but in this case, it means cool, unique, and unusual.
Oh, 在这里 funky 就是指很酷、很独特的意思。没错，这条鱼啊，真的很特别耶。这条鱼放在你的鱼缸里一定很漂亮。
Hold on, that funky little fish is pretty expensive. Why don't we get a cheap little goldfish instead?
小的金鱼是便宜点，可是颜色就没有这么特别啦。
I happen to like goldfish. I can buy one of those goldfish with the funky bubbles behind its eyes.
你是说那条眼睛后面长了两个大球的金鱼啊？我还是喜欢那条很漂亮的鱼，那条 funky fish.
Well, I appreciate your opinion, but this is going to be my fish.
那也是哦，别听我的，这是你的鱼，你得天天看的。哎 ，Larry， 你看那边那个人穿的衣服真是与众不同哎，我觉得好怪哦，是不是也是很 funky 啊
？Yeah, he definitely has his own sense of style. It looks as though he's here to buy a fish too.
对，每个人啊都有自己穿衣服的风格。说不定他会买那条很漂亮的鱼哦。
That's a possibility. Now, come on, forget about that fish and help me pick out a goldfish. The funkier, the better.
Okay, that was today's popular American. 那么今天呢，李华学到的第一个常用语 bite the dust 是指死掉。不过通常呢不用在人的身上，那样说呢是不礼貌的。另外一个是 funky 是指很酷的意思，很独特。And now let's take another music break. Listen to a song by Sarah Connor, Living to Love Me. And that was Living to Love Me by Sarah Connor. And now let's move on to Chicken Soup for the Soul. 接下来呢，我们来听听心灵鸡汤。
Healing with Love. On a bitterly cold and cloudy winter's day in upstate New York, I saw my brother again for the first time in a year. As my father and I pulled up to the reform school after 4 hours of driving, his attempts at cheerful commentary did nothing to ameliorate the dismal apprehension that I felt. I had little hope that my brother would be changed, and, furthermore, I had convinced myself that any appearance of change would not necessarily be genuine. Being with my brother after so long was like getting to know him all over again. Over the next couple of days, I felt a kind of peace developing between us. And, for the first time, I wasn't tense around him, nor was I scared of what he would do or say next. It seemed as though I would finally find a friend in my brother, and, more than that, I would find a true brother in my brother. While part of me rejoiced in his transformation, another part of me thought it was too good to be true, and so I remained skeptical of his seeming progress. 2 days was surely not enough time to erase the hostility that had built up between us over the years. I showed this cynical front to my father and brother, while the hopeful voice remained hidden deep inside of my heart, afraid to appear, lest it should be trampled upon. My brother himself commented several times on my depressed disposition, but I knew he would never understand the complexity of my feelings, so I remained elusive. I wrapped myself in the same protective silence during what was for me the most emotionally trying part of the visit. Meals at the school were more than just meals. They were chaperoned with 2 teachers at each table and provided a forum for judging the students' progress and, or, continued delinquency. My father had told me that these meals often lasted for an hour or two, as each student was treated separately and with the full attention of the table. As we sat down for lunch, I knew I wouldn't be able to make it through the meal without crying. Several boys and girls were brought up in front of the table for transgressions they had committed, but a boy named Brian touched me the most. A fairly new arrival at the school, he hadn't yet lost the initial anger and bitterness at having been brought there against his will. He was an attractive boy, about 16 years old, and was, my father whispered to me, an exceptional soccer player with a promising future in the sport. As the head teacher at our table continued a heavy interrogation of him, Brian shifted his weight nervously every 2 seconds, and I saw in his eyes what I had become so good at reading in my brother's. They darted anxiously about the room, resting upon everything except the man addressing him, and I knew that he was searching for someone or something to blame. He wasn't yet aware that only when he stopped looking for excuses, he could truly hear and learn from those trying to help him. Suddenly, out of the corner of my eye, I became aware of a bearded man standing at the closed door and peering in apprehensively at our solemn gathering, which must have looked more like an AA meeting than a meal. The realization that it was Brian's father trying to catch a glimpse of his son precipitated the first tear I had shed all weekend. "Why is Brian here?" I whispered softly to my father. "Oh, you know, the usual drugs, violence." I think the last straw was when he hit his father in the head with one of his soccer trophies. He was chosen for the national all-star team, you know. Must be quite a player. As the tears flowed more freely down my face, Brian looked straight ahead at the wall and told us that he had refused to see his father, who had driven for many hours to see him. Then the teacher spoke. "Brian, I talked to your dad, and he says he brought you your puppy because he knows how much you must miss him. He's willing to accept the fact that you don't want to see him, but he wants you to know that you can see your puppy." I was screaming inside. I wanted to stand up and tell Brian how lucky he was to have a father who obviously loved him so much, and who loved him enough to do the hardest thing a parent ever has to do, send his child away. I was bursting to enlighten him, but I knew it was something he would have to learn on his own. So I remained still and just let the overwhelming sadness spread over me like a dark cloud. That afternoon, I saw my brother waving goodbye as we pulled up the dirt drive and out of the gates of the school. I couldn't look back, as I was too busy trying to suppress the emotion that I felt creeping up on me with the force of a tidal wave. I was filled with hopelessness and empathy for these kids who had somehow gotten lost along the way. I knew there was a fine line between them and me, a line I had walked like a tightrope at several times in my life. Indeed, a part of my sadness lay in the guilt I felt for not having such a heavy load to bear, and for never being able to fully comprehend the nature and sheer weight of this load my brother carried. Several months later, I returned to the school, this time in early spring, and accompanied by my whole family, including my mother and 2 sisters. Everything looked brighter and more colorful in the sun. Wildflowers bloomed on the hillside, looking out over the valley, and the water in the pond sparkled like jewels. I closed my eyes, held my face up to the sun, and smiled. It was my family's first reunion in over a year. As it was family weekend, everywhere I looked, I saw proud, attentive parents and beaming kids. This is when the full force of what I was experiencing hit me. For the first time in a while, I didn't feel the despair and hopelessness of these kids' lives. but the tremendous amount of love and support that surrounded each one of them. After a whole year spent doubting that my brother would ever be able to function normally in society, I allowed the seeds of hope to germinate in my mind, as well as in my heart. Moments later, my new outlook was strengthened, and I forever cemented the most beautiful sight I think I have ever seen. At first, I couldn't believe my eyes. Brian and his father were walking arm in arm across the grass towards the pond and seemed to be in quiet discussion about one of those everyday, mundane things that is the business of fathers and their sons. A golden retriever, now fully grown, wagged its tail in delight as he trotted after them. Cecile Wood.
Okay, and that was today's Chicken Soup for the Soul, provided by Anhui SciTech Publishing House. And that's all for today's program. Let's wrap today's program with a song, The Goddess Girl. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Girl, wherever you are. smuggling the bag from Tesco. There are people from the city having lunch in the park. I believe that is called alfresco. When a kid came along to offer a hand, but before she had time to accept it, hits her over the head, doesn't care if she's dead, cause he's got all her jewelry and wallet. You might love, you might stand, walking around the London town. Sun's in the sky, oh why, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun's in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? When you look with your eyes, everything seems nice. But if you look twice, you can see it's all lies. Lies, yeah, that's the lies. Yeah, that's the lies. Yeah, that's the lies. Lies, yeah, that's the lies. Yeah, that's the lies. Yeah, that's the lies. Sun's in the sky, oh why, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun's in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun's in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun's in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else?
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Cookie 经济学，欢迎来到 Cookie 经济学。今日查点：稀缺 （scarcity）。经济学所说的稀缺，是指相对于人们的欲望来说，资源是永远不够的。普通人追逐金钱、权力、名望、爱情。富可敌国的洛克菲勒想活到100岁，却在98岁那年逝世。秦始皇横扫6国也没能长生不老。所以说，稀缺是经济学的基本问题，也是任何人都必须面对的问题。
瑞士伊波路表为您准点报时，浪漫时刻一生相伴。瑞士伊波路表。
北京时间23:00。
中央人民广播电台经济之声
China Business Radio，